Hello, loyal fans of the Two Jews and a Gay podcast. You're about to hear episode 12, but we want to take this opportunity to apologize for my audio. Due to technical difficulties, the quality of the sound doesn't meet the standards we strive to reach. However, there's a lot of great content on this episode, and we didn't want to just fade to nothingness, so we've decided to release it anyway. Thanks for your loyal listenership, and enjoy the show.
Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
I hope everyone had a great holiday.
All aboard! Woo!
Sounds like you're still backed up.
You need to be using more lube. On the cruise of banging both a mom and her daughter. Before the election, we had the big debate between me and Aaron. Derek has joined us.
Felt some pressure that he had to say some outlandish thing. They voted on it, and the results are in.
Back to Spencer again for some dirty talk.
Greg, here in Dallas, goes, of the three of you, the gay has the worst voice.
Pass that over to Jeremy for Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Now, apparently in the film, there's a scene where Helen Hunt does full frontal. Who's more turned off right now, Brian or Spencer? Adam, thank you for joining us.
And so I end up slamming through the ceiling.
Oh my God.
You went through the ceiling? You went through a divorce. Dive into, what happened there.
Let's get it out there. Let the people know.
Mezuzah. Is that a hate crime?
I believe it is. And, of course, Spencer Yazbin.
I don't even have a mezuzah. Parents are not going to be happy with me when they visit.
They are not at all.
It has been about a week since we got together to record the podcast. Much has happened in our fantasy football league and in life in general. Congratulations to the three of us for making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Phew!
Is this the first time Spencer's made the playoffs?
Yeah, it's the first time in three seasons, okay? It's not that big of a deal, I mean.
I think it's a pretty big deal.
How many times has Keith made it?
Well, I want to point out that I've been in the league for 2 years, and I've made them both years. So.
He's got a point.
Wow. It's too much to match up against there. I can't do it.
You can't go against the numbers. The numbers never lie.
Are you done?
I'm just getting started. Sunday hasn't hit yet, so we don't know how this is all going to play out. By the way, listeners, Spencer and I are playing each other in the first round of the playoffs. So good luck to you, Spencer. Put up a good showing. I don't want to have you lose by default like you did last week.
Lose by default?
Well, your team just completely laid an egg. I mean, I could have.
I was resting my guys.
I could have benched everybody but like AP and Trent Richardson and still beaten you. It almost looks
fair. I hope in your case you don't have a Jordy Nelson type player that decides to call it quits after a couple plays in the game. So
gotta gimp hammy. Anyway, Jeremy, congratulations as well on making the playoffs. It was a little touch and go there for you.
You guys all thought I wasn't going to make it, so shame on you guys.
I didn't think you weren't going to make it.
I just wanted the drama of you passing on me.
There definitely, Spencer, there definitely was a lot of drama on Sunday. It was a hot mess. I was happy at times. I was sad at times. And I ended it with a dance, a victory dance, in front of Derek Green. So there was a...
But you still would
have emotions last Sunday.
You still, even if you had lost, you still would have got in, right? Because didn't Derek lose?
I would have, yeah. But yeah. I at that time I didn't.
You only won by what? 2 points against Eric?
Yeah, a couple,
Too close to call.
Yeah, well, a couple is two, Jeremy. Just
He is.
It was funny. We were at Barney's Beanery, and it was the afternoon games, and it looked like I had the game in the bag, and suddenly Eric's one player he had left was killing it, and I was at Barney's with Gilman and then Derek's buddy Jared. And Jared, like, looked at me because I got really quiet and my head was down for, like, you know, an hour. And he's like, you were talking a lot more before. You're all right. Fantasy season. Lock it up.
By the way, is Jared gay? I couldn't tell that.
No. He's the handyman.
Oh, he's the one who was, the scrubs of the valet.
Yeah,
service.
Spencer, this guy was working valet at a hotel, and there was this cougar who, I guess, banged, like, all eight of the valet guys.
Cougar.
He was the eighth one, so
he'll take it though.
At that point, I think she just considers that a pity fuck. Like Jesus Christ, I did the Asian and the Mexican.
How does she determine how she's gonna bang them? Like on their driving skills, if one can drive a stick or not. Like, is there a certain?
That's actually a great question. I'd love to get her on the podcast and find out. I'm sure she's got a lot of different approach to it. But it's interesting.
You just go, hey Cougar, we need you on the podcast. We don't have her name. Just get Cougar, okay Cougar.
Maybe she'll bang all three hosts.
Brian's blushing. He's blushing.
I would have the first damn clue what to do with the woman.
We'll give you play by play. Because
neither do we.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'll get play by play from.
We're all in good company.
We'll get play by play from the Gigolos, and then we'll pass it on to you. So
exactly.
All right. Big upcoming week. So we should probably get into the show. Let's head over to Spencer from Dirty Talk.
Yay, Dirty Talk.
Aye. All right. I got a lot today, guys, so
boy.
Strap in. It's going to be a rough one.
I'm sure a lot of it's Todd.
Oh, man. Again with this pessimistic view of Todd. I love it. Okay, so first off, once again, following Twitter, my news feed. It's the only thing I rely on. I got that apparently the Lakers team viewed the movie Lincoln as a group. That's really cute. You know, they're not doing well on the court, but they still are able to come together for such occasions as this.
Who bought the popcorn?
What's that?
Who bought the popcorn?
Steve Blake definitely bought the popcorn.
Oh, Blake loves buying popcorn. He has no choice on that team. Okay, so Kobe Bryant wrote, I don't know if the guys knew who he was. It came up as a big shock to them when he was killed. This is truthful, guys. This is very truthful. Dwight Howard said about the movie Lincoln, it was long. Nash fell asleep at one point. He was snoring. So, you know, it's sad to see. You'd think these guys would...
Well, in fairness, Steve Nash is old. And like most senior citizens, he's in bed by nine.
How did they not know who President Lincoln is, though? Honestly, come on.
I mean, I'm sure they knew, but a nice little jab from Kobe at his teammates. So that's good.
Can you just see them in attendance? Can you just see, like, Dwight Howard and that guy Meeks just be like, like, when the actual shooting occurs, he's, like, just shocked. They're shocked out of their mind.
Well, I hope it wasn't a packed theater, because how pissed off would you be, Brian, if you go to the theater and you've got an entire row of 7-foot-tall black men in front of you? I mean,
well, the guy,
and the worst part is they're eating fried chicken.
To be fair, though, the guy with the guy sitting behind Chris Duhon is probably not too upset, you know.
No. But I wouldn't want to sit next to Meta World Peace, because I just feel like that guy is gonna lose it anyway.
Yeah.
What do you mean they fucking killed Lincoln? Get my gun.
Easy. All right. So moving on. You know, I sent our member of the league, Chris, an email, because at the beginning of the season, I believe you guys went to Vegas without me. No big deal. And you put down $50 bets that the Atlanta Falcons would win the Super Bowl. And at the time, it seemed outrageous. But now the Falcons do have the best record in the NFL. And although we don't think they're the best team, if they get home field advantage, anything's possible. And I believe, Jeremy, you told me that the $50 pays out $800 per person.
It's a good chunk of change.
Right. So it's, Did you not want me to tell people because you're afraid they're going to come after you now? Like someone winning the lottery? Jeremy Katz, address. So anyway.
Well, he doesn't have the ticket, so good luck with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Ooh, that good point. True. So anyway, I found out that Chris sold half of his $50 ticket to Eric for $25. So I was like, whoa, wait, maybe I can get in on the other $25. So I sent Chris an email that I would give him $40 for the $25 wow. ticket. So he's guaranteed a profit out of this. His response to me in one word, nope. I write back, but why would you sell the other $25 to Eric? He writes, because I like him, not you. So just so you know, he hasn't paid me. Okay. So.
Well, Eric is cheap, so, you know, that's.
Right, but he's already agreed.
Good luck getting that money, Chris.
Right. And then I write, is that why you didn't call me to hang out when you were in Dallas a month ago? Because he was all about, hey, Spencer, you know, I'm going to be in Dallas. We got to hang out. Never get a peep from him.
That's nice.
Chris writes, yeah. No, that was because I got up hanging with another buddy of mine. Buddy? No, he didn't say buddy second time, but he said buddy of mine. I had all intention of hanging with you, buddy. That's when he said buddy the second time. So he has another buddy, and he calls me buddy. You can't. How do you value buddies? I want to know.
He out-buddied his buddy.
He was Spencer. You were like the square root of buddy.
Apparently. So I was very upset about that. I think the league should know that we got a crook on our hands. And
do you want me to find him? Is that what you're trying to say?
Teach him a lesson, please. Something.
All right, I'll give him a $10 fine.
Thank you.
From his waiver budget that he's not using anymore.
He can no longer use. Okay.
So the 11th place team isn't going to use his waiver budget anymore? I'm shocked.
Well, that's partly why he had so much trouble to begin with. Okay, moving on. Last episode, Brian was upset about my friend Greg's comments that of the three hosts, Brian has the worst voice. So Brian goes, he's probably used to some Nathan Lane-like piercing the toast gay guys. I'm all man, oh. baby. I respond, why of all people are you gay bashing? Brian responds, Spencer, when you suck a dick, it gives you certain latitudes.
It's like true, it does.
No one is more proud that they suck a dick than Brian.
As we found out many times.
Well, because I think I'm quite good at it. I have to be perfectly honest.
Well, we'll be the judge of that. Yeah. I told Greg that he will likely be the subject of Brian's weekly rant after, you know, seeing how Brian went off last week on him. Greg responds, looking forward to it. So just adding some more more fuel there. So if Brian elects to do
I would really love to get a vocal sample from Greg.
You want to test out his voice?
Yeah, I think it's only fair. You know, not everyone loves the sound of the recorded voice. I know there are times where I think I sound a little nasally, but everyone tells me, aside from Greg, that I have a really good voice for this. So, you know what, Greg, go for it.
Oh, save for the weekly rant. Jeez. Okay, Mr. December, no longer Mr. April, no longer Mr. November, Ooh. But Mr. December made a comment referencing Adam Dyer, our guest last week. He apparently thinks Adam Dyer has a horrible voice for radio. So, you know, I think Dyer's voice is unique. I think it's passionate. I think it's moody at times. It's what it differentiates from everybody else. But I wonder, Jeremy, maybe help me out. I wonder if Mr. December, in a way, was doing that to make Brian feel better about, you know, my friend Greg possibly bashing his voice. What do you think?
That was definitely it. And let's be honest, you know, Dyer, you know, he's trying to pick his life up again. And a friend of the podcast, Chelsea, made a comment to me about how Dyer, like, he just kind of sounded like a sad guy, and, you know, where was he? And I told her that he was in his parents' basement.
So, it's the true Hollywood story.
Yeah, and then Dan said to me too, he's like, this is a really depressing interview.
Rise to fame, sex, drugs, and rock roll, and now he's trying to pick it back up.
And then for our listeners too, to give you a picture of Dyer, we're going to put it on the blog, how he looked in high school and how he looks now.
And how we think he's going to look in 50 years.
Has he quickly deteriorated?
We'll do a 50-year picture, too.
We'll let you guys be the judge.
That's a yes.
Should we just put up a picture of, like, Kevin Smith or Jack Black, how we think he's going to look like in 30 years?
That's actually, I would say, a pretty good celebrity doppelganger for Dyer.
Both
Kevin
those.
Smith.
And maybe a little Jack Black, too. Okay, also from Mr. December, when he was apparently he was out in California this past week, and he was getting to, you know, meet some of Brian's friends, and apparently he would go around and say, "Oh, you must be," as he met some of our cast of characters we reference on the show. So he knew after, you know, getting their name, he could put a face finally to the names, and apparently he seemed to really enjoy Mikey's lap.
In fairness, I think most gay men would enjoy Mikey's laugh. It's an attractive laugh. I'm just saying. He's got good, solid thighs. It's a stable sitting surface. We already know, all listeners of the podcast know, Mike Gilman, Magic Mikey, has enormous balls. Sometimes, you know, sometimes your leg brushes up against them, and that's a silly little thrill.
Spencer, did anything move right now?
I'll get back to you. It's a little tingling now.
Ooh, might be gay.
Yippee-ki-yay. All right. Dyer on Dyer, just like the Barry Bonds show, Bonds on Bonds. I asked Dyer about what he thought about his interview. So Dyer on Dyer, yup, it was great. Simple. Keep it simple, stupid. That's how I like it. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay, Jeremy, our friend Shirley from high school, we hope to have her on one day as a guest. She texted me the following. "I had a horrible dream about you and Jeremy. Y'all tried to kill me. I don't remember why you were trying to kill me, but I escaped out of the apartment and was running, which of course was in slow motion, of course, and randomly got on a motorcycle with some random guy. And y'all were trying to chase me. But then I realized I left my purse there, so I tried to go back and break in to go get it, to get it back. When I woke up this morning for a split second, I thought it really happened." You know, I don't know if we should say thanks. I don't know why you want me to respond to that, but I just thought it'd be interesting to bring up that we do have an impact on people's lives. Apparently, it's nightmare related, but we'll take it any way we can get it.
Yeah.
Does she listen to the podcast?
She hasn't yet, but she has provided some of our Jap versus gay profiles, so I appreciate her in that sense.
So I was thinking, if she had listened to the podcast, how trippy would it have been if I was the person on the motorcycle that
Well, we'll find out when we get her on. Maybe she'll connect the voice. And just so you know, our friend Shirley, she's a little sleazy, you know. So the dream made sense. The more it sounded like, you know, got on a motorcycle with a guy, had to go back for something immaterial, you know, rather than try to save her life.
Not if her diaphragm is in that purse and she's planning on bopping the guy on a motorcycle.
Good point. We have some great sexual stories from her, so.
She does. And what's great about Shirley is that when gay men meet her, she's the kind of girl that you kind of look at each other and go, "You know what? We made the right decision."
Ooh, I hope she doesn't listen to this week's episode for her first one. Oh, let me start at the 15-minute mark. What do we have here? Okay, next up, my oldest brother, Lorne. I was at Thanksgiving in Maryland, and Lorne was trying to pick Todd and my brain about fantasy football because he's clearly trying to, like, you know, gel with us. You know, he's always been that kind of prickish brother, 10 years older than me, always try to act like a father figure. So you can tell, like, when it comes to football, like, he thinks he knows a lot about football, but he really doesn't have anyone to talk to about. So he's never done fantasy football, but I can tell he kind of wants to maybe, like, next year start a league up with us or something. Because, I mean, the bottom line is you have to have 11 friends, really, to have a football league. And I question if he has 11 friends. So he goes, trying to act like he's an expert, "So I would take Torrey Smith in the first two rounds, right?" I'm like, no. And then he follows that up with, "Okay, so the top wide receivers that get drafted first are like Dez Bryant, right?" And then at that point, Todd and I just got up and walked downstairs to the basement and didn't see him the rest of the trip. So,
Lord.
Okay, next up, Chris's sister Jen, her Facebook status a couple of days ago. "Chris, getting ready for Black Friday? I'm buying Nooks! Yeah, yeah."
Chris is the only straight guy I know who looks forward to Black Friday. Like, he's up at the break of dawn, ready to just go for it. It's funny. Chris is he's an interesting character.
He's adorable. And can we ever get Jen on by any chance? Any possibility?
That's going to be tough. Brian, what do you think? I don't think she'll do it.
I don't think she's ready for the questions we'll ask.
Okay, next up, my friend Justin from Dallas, out of nowhere, sends me an email and goes, he's apparently in China this past week, and he goes, "I listened to your podcast a couple of weekends ago. I was having a terrible day at work, and it made me laugh. It was definitely needed. It was funny." Just thought I'd bring it up. You know, we are making an impact on people's lives. He's a lawyer that works his ass off, and apparently he works till 11 o'clock at night usually, so I'm glad to hear that we sparked some enthusiasm in his life.
I'm smiling right now.
I'm really happy to hear that as well.
That's why we do this, guys.
Ryan, are you all right?
This isn't our own vanity project. I thought that's what it was.
I have a project due next week with this, so we need to hurry this up, you know. We need to get to episode 20, so... back to a little bit of Twitter. Braylon Edwards apparently has Sanchez's back. Braylon Edwards was on the Seattle Seahawks. He was on the Jets a couple years ago. So on Twitter,
wide receiver.
Braylon Edwards writes on Twitter, "Don't blame Sanchez. I played there. Blame the idiots calling the shots. Mark is a beast, and I will prove it when given a proper chance." A couple days later, he was cut from the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know if there's anything relation to that, but just interesting. And honestly, Braylon, are you not watching the Jets? Because I'm watching the Jets. As much as I've tried to defend Mark Sanchez, it just ain't happening anytime soon. So, next up, Vinny Del Negro used Lamar Odom to...
Coach of the Clippers, correct?
Vinny Del Negro, the unbelievable basketball coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, this guy went 500 with the Chicago Bulls. Tim Thibodeau came in and was the number one seed with the same essential players. So there was an article about Lamar Odom, and it says, "Vinny Del Negro used Odom to inbound the basketball, showing how much trust he has in Odom." Negro responds, "He was active. He's starting to get his timing back. It's going to take some time, but he's a weapon out there for us, and he's only going to get better with time." The way he makes it sound, doesn't it sound like as if Lamar Odom was in some horrific like car accident or something? Like it's going to take some time. He's starting to get his rhythm back. Like, yeah. Call me crazy, Jeremy, but he just ate too much this offseason, right?
He is fat. That's what it is. Comes down to. And anyone who's still overweight, who's an NBA player and they played what 15, 16 games, how is that possible? Because when I play one basketball game with a bunch of white dudes, I am drenched in sweat, so this fat fuck.
But in fairness, you're in really bad shape, Jeremy.
Oh, come on. Son of a bitch. You know what? I agree with Greg. You got a horrible voice, okay?
Right now, Brian's actually really pissed. That was like a fake laugh. Okay, so...
You're fucking going down, Jeremy Cat.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go now to a little segment within Dirty Talk for our playoffs, if you guys mind if I continue?
Indulge.
Okay. I wanted to get people's perspectives about the upcoming playoffs and about those that did not make the playoffs. So, first off, I asked Nick his thoughts on missing the playoffs. It was a rough learning experience. At least I went out with a win against the one seed. Should be a good playoff. I've got my money on B-Mart. Interesting.
Hey, thank you, Nick.
That's all Brian.
I have my money on me, too.
I do like how that Nick got eliminated from the playoff contention because of Keith. So I thought that was kind of comical that Keith Sexton knocked Nick out of the playoffs.
He's a killer. Playoff killer, Keith Sexton. Mm. I asked
sexy man.
I asked Dan his thoughts on his first round matchup against Eric. Dan wrote, "I made the playoffs." Followed up by, "The beatdown will be as thorough as the doctor was on your asshole." Yeah, that's probably true.
But of course, he doesn't really specify who's putting down the beatdown.
True. It could be Eric.
Because I always kind of imagine Eric is more of a top. And as we discovered from Germany, people definitely think Dan's a bottom.
Next up, I asked Eric his thoughts on his first round matchup against Dan. "No more salsa dancing," was his response. I believe Victor Cruz.
Because Dan has Victor Cruz.
Originally, I wrote, "Oh, did he salsa dances?" And then it took me a second. I was like, oh, okay. It would have been cool if Dan actually salsa danced. But,
Eric Katz is no longer signed on the G-Chat.
It's a tough kill, tough sell. I asked Jeremy his thoughts on his first round matchup against Megs. He responded, "Feel like I'm in a press conference right now. I feel great about my team. It's going to be a tough matchup, but I believe my team will get the win." Nothing special there, but he definitely, just like a head coach, he definitely treated it like a Bill Belichick press conference. So, not giving the reporters anything to work off of, Jeremy. Come on.
Never.
I asked Adam his thoughts on his first round matchup against Mikey. He wrote, "I like my matchup. Mikey has been on the downsizing on the downswing, sorry, on the downswing since starting 6-0, especially point-wise. In the first six games, he only had one game below 109 points. In the last 3 weeks, he is only averaging 90 points. In all my losses, my opponent scored over 100 points, except once, and usually over 120. My team is getting healthy. Romo has thrown only two interceptions since week 8, and with Gronk out, Welker will continue to score near 20. That was probably the most thorough response I could imagine to have gotten.
That was far more thorough than I was expecting from Adam. I'm actually quite impressed by that. That is thorough analysis.
I agree.
And it's one of the reasons why I picked, in the upset for the pick'em, I picked Adam to beat Gilman this week.
Interesting. Wow. I asked Mikey his thoughts on his first round matchup against Adam. He wrote, "Playoff time, can't wait. I am thinking I will win by 16 points. After looking at the matchup, we both have made some interesting changes in our lineups, but my hope is that I am far enough ahead that a big Wes Welker game on Monday won't matter. The whole matchup comes down, in my opinion, to two players. On my team, it is if Matt Ryan can have a solid bounce-back game. For Adam, it's Marshawn Lynch. If he has a monster game that can cover up his weaknesses at some other positions, should be a good battle." So both of them provide some in-depth there.
Yeah, guys, after hearing that response, I'm going to have to go back and choose Adam over Mikey. So
it seems like even Mikey...
You can't make the change in the pick on this.
Damn it! It seems like even Mikey is on board with a big Wes Welker game, so it could be problematic for Mikey.
All I got out of that response is Gilman sounds very, very scared.
He did put an exclamation point about playoff time, can't wait, though. So... as Brian mentioned, Spencer, and Brian are going to have a playoff matchup part due in 2 weeks. And, I responded to Brian debating the decision to play Alfred Morris. If you guys don't know, had I not played Alfred Morris last week, I would have actually fell into the seventh spot where Eric ended up falling into and played Dan. Brian responds, "It was bold, said something about the faith you have in your team. I can't fault it, and also, it's not like it was playing me or playing Adam." So, definitely a dig at Adams, but as we just showed, Adam could be heading to the second round, so maybe it was a good idea.
I also have an added dirty talk that I sent to Jeremy when we were discussing the fact that you may bench Alfred Morris on Monday, and the fact that, you know, Monday Night Football kicks off, you keep him in. Jeremy says something to the... something like bold statement for his team, and I said, "Yeah, the statement is I'm happy I just made the playoffs."
Yeah, because I mean, partly, yeah, I'm very happy.
You're going up against me. You're not expecting to actually win, are you?
I fully expect to win. I think I have the team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have the team to beat you. Absolutely. Like, you forget Drew Brees, for the first time in like 54 games, did not throw a touchdown last week. Okay, that.
Yeah, and it still wouldn't have helped you.
Well,
I mean, it would have made the margin of victory as opposed to 70 points, like 40 points.
I'm just saying a lot of things didn't happen right. Jordy Nelson out early. We'll give it time. All right, you're very high on yourself. Well, okay, Brian, we've noticed that throughout these episodes of the podcast. You're very high on yourself. You get great blowjobs. You got a great fantasy football team. What else do you want? All right,
Jeremy, who has a better team, me or Spencer?
Let the scoring do the judge, okay? Let's
there
just see
you
how
go.
It comes
that's
out.
That's no,
Jeremy, I'm not going to let you off
no,
the hook.
I mean, I think hands down, Brian has the best team right now in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
but this is a week-to-week scenario. It's all about matchups.
I
just stick his foot way in it.
We'll see.
It's certainly possible that Spencer's going to have a really good game. And if he does, I will tip my hat to him and congratulate him. All I do, my philosophy of fantasy football, I put the best damn team I can on the field every week that I think is going to be scoring the most points. If it does, great. If it doesn't, then the other team deserves it.
You should talk to Ken Fuchs about maybe write an article about how to manage a fantasy football team, because that is really great advice. Put the best roster that's going to score the most points. I appreciate that. That's good advice.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't second guess myself. I don't like wring my hands about what could have been. Like, oh, I should have played him as opposed to. The roster I put up there, I'm confident it's going to do the best for me, and if they don't, then you know that's just fate or luck or whatever.
Well, your luck's run out. Moving on, I asked Keith his thoughts on missing the playoffs. Keith responds, "What are playoffs?" The man's a doofus. I asked Derek his thoughts.
No, I think he's just been removed from them so long, he doesn't know that they actually exist.
Exactly. That's what my whole point was before, okay? Yeah, I made it for the first time, but it really has... I mean, come on. Keith, I'm much better than he is. I asked Derek his thoughts on the season that was for RAG. He writes, typical Derek, "Aw, I thought I had a decent year in fantasy. I wish Rodgers would have had a bigger year. That would have helped me in a few of those close games, and maybe I would have been more of an 8-5 team." Now, you fell exactly where I thought you would, Derek, to be truthful. But I asked Chris his thoughts on the season that was for Tom Brady's bunch. He responded, "Disappointed, but I obviously saw it coming. At least I didn't... At least I didn't finish dead last. That was a victory in itself." And finally, to close out Dirty Talk, going back to Mr. December was in town, as we mentioned. There may be a Derek Mr. December feud brewing. I asked Derek, "I hear Mr. December drank all your lemon liqueur." Derek, "Yeah, what the fuck? Dude was drunk and was grabbing my leg under the poker table. Totally inappropriate."
I can acknowledge that Mr. December was a little tipsy at the poker game on Sunday. You know, he's harmless, he means well, and I'm sure he'd be mortified to know that he consumed all of Derek Limoncello. Which is, by the way, let's be honest though, Derek, it's a pretty fucking gay drink to have just lying around your house. What the hell are you doing with Limoncello just in large quantities? Come on.
And Spencer, that night Derek had bought a new bottle of the lemon liqueur, and he offered some to Mr. December, you know, thinking maybe he'll have a drink, maybe two. And he literally just tore through the entire bottle. And by the end of the night, I remember when Derek realized the bottle was empty, the look on his face was priceless.
Doesn't
let's butch it up a little bit, Derek. Come on, it's a fucking lemon liqueur, and you're a straight man.
Brian, do gay guys drink lemon because it makes like the taste better when they're going downtown, Chinatown?
I mean, no comment. I'm not.
I've heard that about pineapple juice.
No guy I've blown has had a lemon aftertaste. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Well, that is the Dirty Talk of the Week.
Thank you, Spencer. As alluded to through some of these Dirty Talks, we're going to do a little recap of each team as they leave the regular season, or as they leave the season, whether they make the playoffs or not. And obviously, the bottom four teams didn't make the playoffs, so we're going to do a little recap of those four teams. So let's begin with Keith's review at number 12.
Expulsion S3-1, Keith Sexton. Team name, Colson's Dream Team. Record, 3-10, Oy Vey. Keeper selection, Chris Johnson, first round pick. Draft day grade, 2.2, lowest grade in the league. Reason for team's departure from the league. Just like the character that inspired his team name, Keith's collective performance was a slow and brutal death. Unlike the character that inspired his team name, we saw this one coming. Keith's first mistake was choosing to have the number 2 overall pick in the draft and using it to keep CJ when he could have selected a later pick in round 1 to sacrifice and in turn have an earlier second round pick. Run challenge running backs Chris Johnson and John Stewart, in combination with injury-plagued star wide receivers and Andre Johnson and Hakeem Nicks, doomed trouble for his team right away. In addition to a poor draft, Keith did his team no favors in free agency. With a league-low 7 transactions and making only 1 bid all season, Keith did little to improve his team, with the most significant player acquired being Jermaine Gresham. Without a doubt, Keith earned his last place finish. Next year's potential keeper, Lance Moore, Denarius Moore, or no one.
All right, number 11, Chris's team. Time to review his year that was.
Expulsion S3-2, Chris. Team name, Tom Brady's Bunch. Record, 3-10. Oy Oyve. Keeper selection, Jordy Nelson, 14th round pick, traded pre-draft. Draft day grade, 2.5, third lowest in the league. Reason for team's departure from the league. After pulling off a pre-draft trade that saw him acquire the number one overall pick in Arian Foster, the rest of his draft proved to be shaky when having to make decisions on talent outside of the best player available. Early season uninspiring performances from quarterback Cam Newton and wide receivers Brandon Lloyd, Dez Bryant, and DeSean Jackson forced Chris to be busy in free agency. While this resulted in coming away with steals such as Randall Cobb and Brian Hartline, neither remained on the roster at the end of the season. Chris's season went from bad to worse after pulling off a controversial three-team trade that saw him give away his two best performers and potential draft keepers for next season in Arian Foster and Randall Cobb for similar but less proven and consistent talents in C.J. Spiller and Jamaal Charles. Next year's potential keeper, C.J. Spiller, Jamaal Charles, Dez Bryant.
Let's go to team number 10, Nick's team, with his injury review.
Expulsion, S3-3, Nick. Team name, intentional pounding. Record, 5-8. Keeper selection, none. Draft day grade, 3.8. Best in the league. Oops. Reason for team's departure from the league. After a solid draft selection in year one of entering the league, Knicks expected top three performers, DeMarco Murray, Matthew Stafford, and Mike Wallace, all gave underwhelming showings this season, with Murray's due to injury. While obtaining Randall Cobb in a late season trade, Knicks' inability to trade either Big Ben or Stafford early in the season for much needed skill position help hindered his late season push at the playoffs. Further, the trade was poorly received due to many believing he gave up too much in Stafford and Murray. Next year's potential keeper, Russell Wilson, Vincent Jackson, Randall Cobb, Kenny Britt.
And now, as we discussed earlier, it is playoff time for fantasy football with our teams all across the nation, and our league is no different. So, Spencer, I'm going to have you go through the matchups, and Jeremy and I will, at the same time, tell you who we think is going to win.
Oh, so I don't get to vote either?
You don't get to vote. Your vote doesn't count. Clearly, the way you manage your team dictates that you get no vote.
Oh, okay. All right, guys. Well, I'm happy to be calling Carher, as Brian would say, the host.
Shut the fuck up.
So, let's start, all right?
I have trouble with my O's.
By the way.
Greg really got in your head.
I just want to ask you guys, does Trey Wingo remind you of Eric Katz at all, personality-wise?
Trey Wingo.
Does he remind you of Eric Katz at all, personality-wise?
I haven't seen him in a while, Brian. What about you?
Not see her here.
What does he do again?
Okay.
Well, he does some sports talk radio for ESPN.
He makes a lot of like little jokes. It's just very similar to Eric, I feel like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do want to say on an Eric Katz note, Mr. December did mention, like the first thing in his drunken haze that he mentioned to me was that you can absolutely tell that Eric and Jeremy are brothers. Based on their like kind of shoulder movements, and then I saw it and it was clear as a bell. Like, you know, there's not at times a lot of visual similarities between Jeremy and Eric. You know, one's blonde, one's brown, one can grow a mustache, one can't. but there are a lot of like body language similarities between the two. So yeah. Just want to point that out.
Wait till
I do like Brian. Brian, I do like your Eric Katz impersonation that you busted out at the poker game easily.
Oh, this I have to see. Well, wait till Mr. December meets Spencer, Todd, and Lauren. See if he can tell the difference. Okay.
All right, so now Spencer, you'll get a vote as well. So,
no, it's okay. I'm Colin Cowherd, right? Let's go. Okay. Bane versus Yearning for Yucks. Key matchups, Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. Key receivers, Decker, Thomas already played. Running backs, Alfred Morris versus Adrian Peterson. Tight ends, Graham versus Rudolph. Those are the key things. Take it away.
I think my team is the favorite to win.
I agree with Brian. I think Brian's going to win pretty handily.
Oh, come on!
I think, honestly, our quarterbacks will probably be a wash. And the way Kyle Rudolph is playing lately, Jimmy Graham's not, and more importantly, the way that Jimmy Graham has been playing lately, I think those two are kind of a wash as well. And if those are your two strongest players, and I can counter them with two of my like not strongest players, then I think you may be in for a long weekend.
Will I have the key question? Will I have more points when Monday Night Football comes around and Brian still has three people to play?
That is really the question. Here's the legitimate question: is how many points do you need to be up by in your mind to be comfortably likely to win on Monday? So, like, if you are up by X number of points before Brady, Ridley, and the Houston kicker play, what's your point total in your mind?
His name is Derek Green, aka Shane Green. I probably need to be up 55 points to feel like I feel good about my chances.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I think I was actually going to go I was going to say 45 to 50, but yeah, I'll go 55 as well.
Just because I could see a field goal fest from Shane Graham. Okay. Next matchup, Crazy Joe DiVola versus Mother of Dragons. Key matchups, Josh Freeman versus Peyton Manning, who already played and had a unstellar performance. Receiving-wise, the return of Pierre Garçon versus Roddy White. Running back-wise, Doug Martin and the new stud, Bryce Brown, versus Ahmad Bradshaw and the already played Marcel Reese, who did not do well. And that's about it. The key, I guess, also is the flex spot. Crazy Joe DiVola has Matt Forte. Mother of Dragons has AJ Green. Take it away.
I'll start off, guys. I think I am going to come out with a close victory over Megan. I like my team. My team's hot right now, and I got lucky that Megan, you know, she had Peyton Manning against the Raiders, and he had, you know, an all right game, not an amazing game.
I also agree with Jeremy. I think, although I will say, I think he will win by a more comfortable margin. I think he has some phenomenal matchups. Tampa's offense going to have a great matchup. So he has Freeman. He has Doug Martin. I think those two players are going to go off. Obviously, Manning having a all right week is going to hurt her. I think also more importantly, not playing McFadden.
Yeah, what was she thinking there?
I don't know. Every single site that I
got to be honest. That, Megan, you know what? She's had a good team all year, but ever since draft day and now as her season appears to be over, she has just made some awful blunders throughout the year.
I think this was a case of mismanagement. In my mind, there's no justification for playing Reese when McFadden is playing. If you have a question, in my mind, if you have
you don't play either. You play McFadden. There's no way you play the backup.
If you
back.
Don't know how it's gonna shake out, you go with your number one pick. She picked him number three or four overall in the first round. You play McFadden. Or you bench both and put in Jacquez Rodgers if you have any question about how the carries are going to be split up.
Not paying attention. Disgusting. All right. Wayne Corbett, number one seed, versus NYC. Key matchups, Matt Ryan versus Tony Romo. Receiving, Brandon Marshall versus Wes Welker. Running back, Ray Rice and Frank Gore versus Marshawn Lynch. Tight end, Martellus Bennett versus Tony Gonzalez and Heath Miller. Take it away.
I'll start, guys. I'm going to go with Gilman's going to win in a low-scoring affair over Warshaw. I think, you know, Adam is playing Montel Owens, who I guess is the running back on Jacksonville, and Michael Crabtree. Those are two unproven guys. You know, Gilman does have the best record. He's got proven players in Brandon Marshall, Ray Rice, Frank Gore. So I think Warshaw is going to need huge games from like Tony Romo and Wells Welker to beat Gilman. But with that said, it's not going to be a cakewalk for Gilman. You know, his team is hasn't looked so hot recently.
I'm actually going to take the opposite. I believe Adam's going to win this. I think Romo has been playing on another level. He's going to target the hell out of Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. I think he's going to score, you know, over 100, which recently has been enough to beat Gilman generally. So I just have a feeling that if he's counting on Matt Ryan, who's not really been lighting it up recently, I think he's going to be disappointed.
If you look at Adam's three wide receivers that are either not playing due to injury or he just doesn't have trust in them, Cecil Shorts, Larry Fitzgerald, and Danny Amendola.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald is healthy but had a disaster situation at quarterback.
I'm just saying, those are three pretty good receivers that unfortunately he was not going to roll out with, two of which are injured. So
he hasn't set his lineup yet officially, so it is Amendola may play, so he might make an appearance in the lineup, and I think it's probably an improvement over one of his other high receiver options, even if he's playing at half speed. But we'll see what Adam does. I still have a feeling, though, that Adam's going to pull up there.
And the last matchup, John McClain Express versus no, 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 and no. Key matchups, Matthew Stafford versus RG3, wide receiver Julio Jones versus Calvin Johnson and Victor Cruz, running back Foster versus Steven Jackson and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and also running back for John McClain Express, DeMarco Murray in the flex spot. Take it away.
I'm going to go first. I favor Dan in this matchup. A couple reasons why. If Eric plays Stafford, which isn't guaranteed, there's rumbling that he may start Schaub instead. If he plays Stafford, he is significantly handcuffed by the fact that Dan has Calvin Johnson. That's going to absolutely cut into the point total that Eric can amass for Stafford versus what he's putting up against Dan. What Dan's putting up. I also think that the situation in Houston with Arian Foster starting to split carries with other backs could really be problematic for him, throwing the fact that he has no McCoy this week, and I just have a feeling that Dan has enough firepower to beat Eric. And I'm fairly confident that it's going to be a comfortable margin.
Yeah, for me, this is the matchup of the week. I think this is the while it is what a two versus
seven
seed. Eric's got a good team. Dan's got a very good team. But I'm going to go with Dan with a slight nudge over Eric just because I don't trust Justin Blackmon. I don't trust Jamarco Finley. If Dan has Steven Jackson or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, one of those guys show up, Dan will win. But, you know, Dan's also rolling out James Jones. He rolled out Brandon Myers. Brandon Myers gave him less than 2 points. So Eric's got a chance, and I definitely think this is going to be the most exciting game to watch.
All right. Spencer, any comments?
I would just say I think I'd give the nod to Dan as well because of matchups this week. I think Victor Cruz will have a big game against the Saints. I think Calvin Johnson will be the only target for the Lions against the Packers. And, you know, I think RG3 is going to struggle against Baltimore. I think the demise of Baltimore, I mean, I would love to see the demise of Baltimore. Never been a fan, but this seems like a type of game that they would excel at against a rookie quarterback. So
cool. Well, next week we will see how well our prognostications played out, and then preview the semifinal matches. And now it's time for Mikey's Picks of the Week. Mikey, take it away.
Here we go. Week 14 picks. Magic Mikey is on the clock. After last week going 3-0, gonna pick three more winners, but you know what? I'm not even gonna worry about the point spreads. We're just gonna pick three winners. Don't even worry about the points. We're getting crazy. It's the first week of the playoffs, and the boys will be boys fantasy football league. Feeling pretty confident after last week's winners. So listen to me, and you'll make some nice cash. Three teams, keep it simple. Carolina, the Browns, and the Bengals. Take those three to the bank. thank me on Tuesday. Have a good week, everyone. Short and simple. Three winners. You're welcome.
And we're back. I have to say, last week, Mikey kind of knocked it out of the park. I think he was 3-0. And I know Spencer gets irritated that we only mention Mikey's successes. But we promise Spencer, if Mikey completely whips on this week's picks, we will eviscerate him in episode 13.
Gotta keep him honest.
Let's follow up with our last team review, number 9, and that is Derek's team.
Expulsion S3-4, Derek. Team name, Rivers Angry Juice. Record, 5-8. Keeper selection, Aaron Rodgers, first round pick. Draft day grade, 3.0, tied for 5th in the league. Reason for team's departure from the league. After a 4-2 start, Derek was unable to make the necessary roster adjustments to avoid a second half disaster to his season where he just won one of his final 7 games. Though busy in free agency, Derek never obtained a marquee acquisition that could have saved his season. Seeing that he was able to obtain Andrew Luck in the 9th round of the draft, there will be a continued debate if he should have kept prior season late round pick Darren Sproles over first round keeper Aaron Rodgers, as his team ultimately lacked depth at the skill positions. Next year's potential keeper, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Matthews, couldn't help myself, Percy Harvin, Knowshon Moreno, Andrew Luck.
And we are back. It is now time in the show for the hugely successful spinoff to Dirty Talk, Dirty Talk Hollywood with Jeremy Katz. So Jeremy, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, guys, we got picked up for a full season, so exciting news there.
Yes, yes.
All right, guys, the first headline. So there's a scary trend going on in Hollywood right now. No, it's not illegal downloading or remake after remake. It's CGI boobs. Now, this trend started last year with Leslie Mann in the film The Change-Up, and it continues this year again with Leslie Mann, this time in the new movie This Is 40. Now, in the film, she flashes a titty.
Woo!
But alas, it's not hers. Spencer, is it time to panic?
I'd say so. Why is she afraid to show it?
I feel like she's got amazing titties, right?
Maybe there's something weird, like a third nipple.
I don't know, guys, but I'm starting to panic. I mean, I feel like if actresses have the chance to not show their titties, they're probably going to have a CGI titty.
Are they going to have CGI cocks eventually?
Well, I sure hope not. Yeah, I sure hope not. But I think it is the one area in film that has really not been – a barrier that's not been crossed routinely yet.
Tell that to Michael Fassbender. Woo! Need some water!
Well, you know, I can't complain. I mean, it's an amazing cock. I would love to see it.
Do we know if Michael Fassbender's full frontal scene in that movie was his or CGI?
That was all cock, Spencer. That was all him.
Thank you, Michael Fassbender. Thank you. Good yet.
All right, next headline. Now, with the Avengers wrapping up Phase 1 of the Marvel Universe movies, it's time to move on to Phase 2. One of the movies that will be featured in Phase 2 is Guardians of the Galaxy, which will be directed by James Gunn. Now, Gunn, who's a relatively small director, has been thrusted into the spotlight because GLAAD is pissed about a blog he wrote in 2011. Now, Spencer, before I go on, Brian, do you want to explain to Spencer what GLAAD is?
GLAAD is the Gay and Lesbian Anti-Defamation League.
I'm aware of GLAAD. Thank you very much. Okay. We've worked well together.
The blog was titled The 50 Superheroes You Want to Have Sex With, and Gunn referred to the lesbian superhero Batwoman as needing a straight male to turn her, and called Gambit a Cajun fruit. Gunn also said that The Flash received many votes from gay men, and said, "I have no idea why this is, but I do know if I was going to get fucked in the butt, I too would want it to be by someone who would get it over with quickly."
Speak for yourself.
GLAAD wants Gunn removed from Guardians of the Galaxy. B-Mart, is it time for GLAAD to take a chill pill?
Well, here's my problem, or the problem in general, with a lot of causes that have spokespeople. These spokespeople, these spokesgroups, don't generally know how to like take a joke. They take everything too seriously. Everything is a cause. Everything is discrimination, and it's not necessarily true. His comments were probably not the most PC. They also probably weren't the funniest, but I don't think anyone should make a big federal case out of this, and should probably just move along.
And Spencer?
Yeah, the story was a little weird for me. I don't know what the issue is. I think, look, Flash, if they want to get pounded in the ass, let them get pounded in the ass. I don't, you know, what's the big deal?
Beautiful words, beautiful words. Next set.
As long as it's not Superman. I mean, come on.
No, come on. I mean, who doesn't want to get fucked by Superman? I mean, come on. He's the Man of Steel in so many different ways.
Well, then Superman can turn time backwards, so it never they forgot that it even happened, right? So you could have that.
Yeah.
They could work together. Teamwork.
All right. Next headline. Guess who received a Hollywood award last week? George Clooney? Brad Pitt? Nope. Instead, it was Thespian? Spencer?
Dolph Lundgren?
That is correct.
Yeah!
Dolph Lundgren. Lundgren was awarded with the Eliason Merit Award. Now, yes, it was awarded to him by the Swedish American Chamber of Commerce, but guys, it's still an award.
What? Was it for a certain type of work he's done, or what?
Representing Swedes in film.
Oh, I could see that.
I'm sure it was a national holiday or something.
He's in the new, Universal Soldier movie that came out. The guy just
straight to DVD.
He won't die, and neither was Jean-Claude in those movies. They just keep coming back.
Good to see the Swedes, you know, awarding their people.
Is Eric's fiance taking a day off from work to celebrate?
She was there. She toasted him.
Oh, yeah. All the Swedes.
Next headline. Exciting news, guys. I'm actually really, really excited about this. I think you will be, too. Michael Richards. Yes, Michael Richards is back and has agreed to his first TV series role in over a decade. That's great news.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on.
Yeah, well, I'm
Well, is it... What's his role? What's the role?
I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, besides the obvious issue with the N-word thing at the comedy club, I mean, the fact is he's always going to be known as Kramer. It's going to be very hard for anyone to see him as anything but it, so it's going to be Kramer doing whatever the role is.
Well, but let me hear... I want to know the role is, Jeremy. Can you tell me the role?
You guys don't want to hear the role, do you? I'm
dying to hear the role. It's got to be...
Can we leave this on a high note?
No, Jeremy, I got to believe that... If for him to come back after being Kramer, as Brian mentioned, it's got to be above and beyond better than anything any of us could ever imagine. So what is it?
President
of the United States?
He's agreed to join Christy Alley on the new TV Land show, Giant Baby.
Ooh.
Now, the show is about a Broadway star whose life is turned upside down when her strange son returns. Oh, and guys, Richard's... plays Ali.
Can I guess? Wait, is he playing the son? Because that's funny.
No, no, he's playing her limo driver.
Ah, yes, I see.
Wow, that's a huge get.
You know, shame on you guys. You know, I was feeling good, I was excited, and you just really had to, you know, bring it down a notch. God damn.
Do you have any more thespian comments, maybe? Because that might be true.
I got nothing, you know. Ugh, Kramer. And our final headline of the week. A bunch of our listeners are on Twitter, and that is where Spencer gets all of his news.
Keeping it real.
One person not on Twitter is Brian.
Oh.
Brian, maybe it's a good thing you're not on Twitter, because tweeting that someone is hot can piss off a group of people, and that's exactly what happened to Boy George. Boy George tweeted about last week's Mexican election, saying, "Mexico has a hot new president, and I hope he's good for the country." Innocent enough, right? Not
yes.
Exactly. The tweet was misquoted by several Mexican media outlets, which translated the tweets to, "So the Mexican president is a tyrant. Well, if that's true, Mexico needs good wishes." And now Boy George has been blasted with hate tweets. To combat this, Boy George said he's blocking anyone who annoys me by calling me racist or mentions presidents. George says that it just so happens that the perps are, and I quote, "mostly Mexicans."
Aww. How did they mess that up? That translation.
Well, Spanish is difficult.
I mean,
extreme translation mess up.
General enjoy Boy George, but
I'm a huge Boy George fan. Come on, Boy George. You tell me Boy George and Dolph Lundgren together in a movie. That's what I need to see.
Oh, I tell you, you are really scraping the bottom of the barrel this year. Boy George and Dolph Lundgren.
You got to, hey, come on.
Jesus.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Dirty Talk Hollywood.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy. And on that note, we are wrapping it up for the week. Thank you for a great episode, guys. I really appreciate all the efforts, as always. So for Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I am Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.